I ask you now to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 to 16. We've been working our way together through the book of Exodus. We want to pick up this morning where we left off last time, chapter 13, with verse 1. Let's hear God's word together. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today, in the month of Abib, you are going out. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. You shall tell your son on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrificed to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeemed. It shall be as a mark on your hand or frontlets between your eyes. For by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt.'" Thus far, the living and active Word of God. Again, let's pray together. Father in heaven, there is nothing on earth quite like your Word, your truth. It convicts us. It searches us. It teaches us. It exposes us. It brings your grace to us. It shows us Jesus. Surely there is no book like your book. There is no word like your word. And so we ask this morning, as we come together to your word, we might have ears to hear. Lord, this might not just be another church service, but that you might be pleased to apply your word to us, that you would cause us to hunger and thirst for us, that you would enable us to hear what you want us to hear and to really hear it. Help us, O Lord, to hear your word and take it to heart. May it be planted deep within us and bear good fruit. May the truth of your word begin to blossom within us and grow, that we would see you changing in us, that we would see new life within us growing because you have done it. Lord, bless and apply your word of life and grace to us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a notoriously poor memory. And I'm not sure if I've mentioned this before or not, but we kind of have a running joke in our house that whenever we watch a movie that we've seen before, we'll get about an hour into it, and then inevitably, I'll find myself saying, I don't remember any of this. I don't remember the good guy being the bad guy. I don't remember the bad guy turning out to be the good guy. I don't remember them going into outer space and fighting aliens. I thought this was a Western. You know, I know I watched the movie, but I don't remember any of it. You know, when it comes to movies and entertainment and things like that, it's easy to watch something and then you forget about it. But this morning, I want to encourage you to remember. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Look with me at our text again. This morning, we're picking up where we left off with chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." You remember what has already happened. God's people have been suffering as slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. At last, God has provided deliverance in the form of Moses, and with Moses, 10 horrible plagues. First, God turned the Nile to blood. Then he sent the plague of frogs, and then the plague of gnats, and then the plague of flies. There was a disease that came upon the livestock. There was the locust. There was the hailstorm. There was the darkness. And then at last, God himself came in the middle of the night, and he struck down the firstborn males of every family and every beast. And yet, for his people, God provided the Passover lamb. God instructed the Hebrews to take a lamb and to sacrifice it and to take its blood and put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of the house. And when God went out and he brought his judgment and he struck down the firstborn of every family, his people were preserved. They were saved because they took shelter underneath the blood of the lamb. Pharaoh was distraught. He woke in the middle of the night to discover his own oldest son had passed away and that every other Egyptian family was suffering likewise. And so Pharaoh calls for Moses and he says, "Get up, get your people, and get out." And so at last, after hundreds of years of grief and suffering, God's people are on the move. And that's where we pick up this morning with verse 1. God says to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn." When the Lord went out that night, he struck down the firstborn of every family, of man and beast, except for those who had taken shelter under the blood of the Lamb. And now God says, "Now, your firstborn son, and the firstborn of your flocks belong to me. And you shall dedicate them to me. You shall consecrate them to me in a special way." All of us belong to the Lord in a certain sense. God made us. He created us. We are his. And yet God said that the firstborn male belong to him in a special way and so should be dedicated or consecrated to him in a special way. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, God says, is mine. Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place." Moses says to the people, "Don't forget this day. Don't forget what it's been like. Remember how bad it has been." Okay? He says, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Moses is saying, "Don't forget how awful it was. How burdensome, how grievous it was. Don't forget you were slaves. Remember how bad things were. But before you came to know Jesus Christ as the Passover lamb, before you took shelter under the blood of the lamb, remember how bad it was. Remember what it was like to be a victim of your own foolishness, to think you understood it, to think you knew what life was all about, only later to find out you were completely wrong. Remember what it was like to be a slave to your own ego and your own pride and your own fears and your own stress and your own anxiety and your self-absorption. Remember what that was like. Remember how bad things once were. I know many of you grew up in a Christian home, and it may be that you don't have a dramatic conversion story. It may be that maybe you don't even remember a time when you didn't know Jesus. That's wonderful. But doubtless there have still been times when you weren't really walking with Jesus the way you should have. Or there are times when you, that careless thought or that unkind word, there are times when you felt convicted or guilty. Remember how bad that was? Remember what it's like when you really weren't trusting the Lord the way you should have? Remember how you got yourself in that situation you really shouldn't have? You know, even if you've known Christ almost all your life, as much as you can remember, there have been times when things weren't so great. Maybe it wasn't even your sin, but maybe it was your circumstances. You find yourself in circumstances you can't get out of. I mean, even if you're in a bad job, you can quit. But the Hebrews were slaves. Being a slave means you can't quit. They were stuck. They were trapped. They couldn't get out. And maybe you found yourself in situations like that where you felt like you couldn't get out. You felt trapped. You felt stuck. Moses is saying, remember how bad things were. And remember what God did to save you. He says, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. This is no small thing. Moses says, look what God has done. It took a strong hand to get you out. You were stuck for hundreds of years. You were bound. You were slaves. You couldn't get out. And remember what God did? How he reached forth his strong hand and he did for you what you could not do? Remember how God turned the Nile to blood? Remember how he sent the plague of frogs? And the gnats and the flies. Remember the disease and the hail and the locust and the darkness. Remember how God went out and he struck the firstborn of every family just to bring you out. Remember how bad things were and remember all that God did to save you. You know, it's so easy to say, yeah, I know, Jesus died for me. But if you picture the Hebrews, they would sacrifice this lamb. I mean, it was alive, and they would kill it, and they would take its blood, and they would put it on the doorpost and the lintel. That's a bloody business. You know, imagine rubbing blood on the walls of your house. That was bloody. But boy, what a vivid picture. What God did for you is no small thing. The suffering and the lashes and the wounds and the beating, you know, remember all that God did, and he did it willingly to deliver you and to save you. Remember how bad things were, and remember what God did to save you. Moses continues, he says, no leavened bread shall be eaten. Well, you remember leaven was like yeast, and when God instituted the Passover meal, he said you should not use yeast or leaven in the bread because there's no time. God was saying, I can save you just like that. You've been grieving and you've been struggling for hundreds of years, but I can save you just like that. There's no time to even wait for the yeast to rise. And so God told the people, don't use yeast in your bread for the Passover meal or for the next week. Remember, there was the Passover night, and then there was an entire week that was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Or sometimes they put it all together and called it the Passover week. So for an entire week, you weren't supposed to use yeast. And that was a visible reminder. God can save you just like that. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are, how bad they are, or how deep is your guilt, or what you've gotten yourself into. God can save you just like that. Eating bread without yeast was a reminder that God can save you just like that. Moses says, today, in the month of Abib, you are going out, and when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. Moses says, God is taking you out of this place of bondage and suffering, and he's going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Flowing with milk meant that the goats and the cattle will prosper. There's going to be all kind of plenty of rich milk and cream. And flowing with milk and honey meant the land is going to blossom. It's going to be beautiful and abundant. They didn't have sugar cane in the Middle East. They didn't have all the sweeteners we have. Honey was a treat. A land flowing in milk with milk and honey would be just a prosperous, rich, abundant, blessed place. And Moses says, listen, when you come out of this house of bondage and God takes you to this place of blessing, when things are good and when you get comfortable and when you settle down, don't forget how bad things used to be. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget what God has saved you from. He says, when the Lord brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers to give you, you shall keep this service in this month. Well, he's talking about the Passover week. He's saying, when things are good, I want you to keep this Passover week as a reminder of how bad things used to be and what God did to bring you out. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. The Passover was a memorial. Okay, you had bread without yeast to remember back when there wasn't time to use yeast. But it wasn't just a memorial, it was also a celebration, because he says there's this week that you're going to have without yeast, and then the last day is going to be a feast. So not only are we remembering what God has done, but we're going to celebrate it. Likewise, the Lord's Supper is not just a memorial. Yes, it's a time to remember what God has done. But more than that, the Lord's Supper is a chance to celebrate what God has done. It's a feast. God wants you to remember all that he's done for you. And he wants you to celebrate it. He wants you to remember it and enjoy it and celebrate all that Christ has done for you. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. First, Moses says, all right, for a week, for Passover week, you're not going to have any leavened bread. We know that. He's already told us that. Then he says, no leavened bread shall even be seen. So it's not enough not to eat it. You shouldn't even have any leavened bread around the house. And then he says, no leaven at all shall be seen in all your territory. In other words, you can't even have yeast on the shelf. This is very significant because the way yeast works, you put it in the dough and it grows and it spreads. And you put most of that in the oven and you're going to bake it. But some of it, a pinch, you hold back and you're going to put that in the dough tomorrow or next week. And that's the way it worked. You would pass it down from day to day. And yet, once a year, God says, get rid of all the yeast in the house. It's not enough just to not cook with it. You got to get rid of it. You got to clean the house out. And so for the Hebrews, Passover week became an annual time for cleaning house. Just like maybe you do spring cleaning once a year when you really, move the furniture and get under the rugs and everything. Passover week became an annual time to spiritually clean house. The Hebrews began to associate yeast with sin, because yeast grows and spreads like sin. And so the Hebrews saw this as a chance to clean house. Once a year was a chance to examine yourself and to confess and to acknowledge and to repent all the bad attitudes and all the things that have accumulated. We get caught up in our work. We get excited about our new responsibilities. We have things going on with the kids. And sin can accumulate in our lives. We lose track of things. And if you want to enjoy your relationship with God, you need to regularly clean house. If you've taken shelter underneath the blood of the Lamb, Your sin has been paid for once and for all. All your sin, past, present, and future, is dealt with. It's done. You're forgiven. And yet, on a daily basis, we still sin. And the careless thought, the unkind word, the thoughtless glance, these things begin to accumulate, and they impede our relationship with God. If you want to enjoy a daily walk with God, you need to regularly clean house. You need regular times in which you examine yourself, and you confess. And you get, I got to get rid of this. Look, I'm becoming careless in the way I talk. I'm becoming short with the kids. I've been neglecting reading scripture. You need regular times of self-examination in which you renounce sin afresh. You repent of it and you turn away from it. You shall tell your son on that day, it's because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. God has provided Jesus Christ as your Passover lamb, okay, that we can be spared God's judgment. We don't have to fear the judgment and condemnation of God. If you're trusting in the blood of the lamb, God has provided the Passover lamb for your salvation. But that's not all. God has also provided a way for you to remember what he's done. And he has provided a way for you to pass that down to your children. He provided the Passover as a reminder of what God had done. But also, he says, your kids are going to ask you, why are we doing this? Why are we eating this funny bread all week? And that was your opportunity to remind them of what God had done. God provided the Passover not just as a way for you to remember, but also as a way for you to pass it down to the next generation. In the same way, the Lord's Supper, it's an opportunity for us to remember what God has done and to celebrate it, but also it's a chance for us to explain to our kids, to tell our kids what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand. Think about a sign on your hand. Think about something like your wedding ring. I'm going to say this because somebody's going to ask me about it. I don't wear my wedding ring, okay? I took it off because it doesn't fit, and I set it aside to be resized, and it's still sitting right where I put it years ago, okay? But for those of you who do wear a wedding ring, it's a wonderful thing. It's a sign on your hand. It's a visible reminder of your wedding day. It's a visible reminder of those vows that your husband or wife made to you when he or she gave you that ring. It's a visible reminder that you're married. It's a visible reminder of your vows. It's a sign on your hand. Well, God says Passover was supposed to be like your wedding ring. A sign on your hand, a visible reminder of all that God has done for you. He says, it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes. Okay. Picture something right there between your eyes. Everywhere you look, it's right there. You wouldn't be able to forget it. He says the annual Passover week was supposed to be like something hanging between your eyes to always remind you of what God has done. So that, now don't miss this, so that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. Why is it so important that you remember what the Lord has done? Why is it? Is it just so that, well, once a year at Passover, the Hebrews could remember, oh, yeah, that's what God did. We celebrate the Lord's Supper once a month. Is that just so that once a month, oh, yeah, that's right, Jesus died for me. No, he says he wants you to remember so that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. We celebrate the Lord's Supper once a month so that God's word would be in your mouth all the time. That's one of the purposes of the Lord's Supper. It was like Passover. Passover was only once a year, but the purpose was to be God's word would be in your mouth all the time so that you'd be talking about Jesus all the time. That's the whole point. The point of remembering what God has done is so that you think about it and you reflect on it and you respond to it. One of the purposes, one of the reasons for the Lord's Supper is that we be talking about Jesus all the time. In other words, remember what the Lord has done for you and give him your best. We already saw at the beginning of the chapter that the firstborn male, man and beast, belong to God in a special way. Well, verse 11 says, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. Okay, so the firstborn male son, the firstborn male goat, the firstborn male sheep, okay, it belongs to God in a special way and has to be set apart, dedicated or consecrated to God in a special way. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. We tend to give to God our leftovers, right? We plan our lives, we plan our day with little thought of God. We commit ourselves, we commit our resources, we take on a mortgage or a car payment without any thought of God. We get the biggest house we can afford, we get the biggest car, the nicest car we can afford. We don't even think about it. And then we have to serve God with just whatever's left. God says the first belongs to him. You know, when you get married, you don't know for sure you're going to be able to have kids. Imagine you get married and finally you're able to have a child. And imagine your firstborn son is born and God says, that boy belongs to me. You know, our children belong to the Lord. They're not ours. They belong to the Lord. Now imagine you have a few sheep. Well, you know what we would do? We would say, well, let's wait and let's see what happens over the years. And let's let the flock grow. And then when we feel more comfortable, when we can afford it, then we'll sacrifice to the Lord. You know, when we can afford to do it. God says, no. He says, give me the first one at the beginning. But before the flocks have spread and grown. I mean, what an act of faith to give the first male. Give to the Lord your first and your best. We tend to give him out of our leftovers, but God says the first belongs to him. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Okay, so your firstborn male goat, what are you going to do? You're going to sacrifice it to the Lord? And you're going to feast, you're going to eat it, and you're going to give thanks. You're going to remember what God has done for you, and you're going to enjoy that. The firstborn male sheep, the ram, you're going to sacrifice it to the Lord. You're going to enjoy it and remember what all God has done for you. But the firstborn donkey, you're not going to eat your donkey. Okay. Later on, God will specifically say certain animals are clean and certain ones are unclean. Donkeys were considered unclean. You're not going to eat your donkey. But still, the firstborn donkey still belongs to the Lord. So he says you're going to redeem it. That means you're going to recognize your firstborn male donkey belongs to the Lord, but you're not going to sacrifice that. You're going to sacrifice a lamb in its place. That principle of substitution, that a lamb could die in your place. And you're going to eat the lamb, and you're going to rejoice, and you're going to remember what God has done. And he says, if you will not redeem it, if you won't redeem the firstborn of your donkey, you shall break its neck. If you're not willing to sacrifice a lamb in the place of your firstborn donkey, then you have to just kill the donkey. You're not going to eat it, but you still have to kill it because it belongs to the Lord. Its life belonged to the Lord. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. The point here is that our lives belong to the Lord. You know, later on, Moses will begin to explain the principle of tithing. A tithe means a tenth. And God will say the first tenth belongs to the Lord. The first tenth of your income you give to God as an act of worship. Well, it doesn't mean you give God your first 10% and the rest is yours to do any way you want. All your wealth, all your money belongs to the Lord. Whether you're using some to pay the electric bill and some to feed your family and some for vacation, it all belongs to the Lord. But that first 10% you give as an act of worship, as a sign that it all belongs to you. The firstborn son was to be dedicated to the Lord as a sign that all God's people belong to him. You know, God made us, he created us, and he redeemed us. So we all belong to him. We read that in the call to worship. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. And so he says, when in time to come, your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. In other words, our lives belong to the Lord, and they must be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you should live a life that demonstrates faith and gratitude for what the Lord has done. You should live a life of such sacrifice that your children ask you, why are we doing this? That's what it says here. When you're taking your firstborn goat and you're sacrificing it, your kids should say, why are you doing that, Dad? And well, because this is what it was like in Egypt. And this is what God did to save us. He's saying you should live a life of such sacrifice that people take notice and ask you why you make the choices you do. If all you do is come to worship sometimes, even if you come every week, if that's all you do, nobody's going to think twice. They'll figure that's just your background, that was the way you were raised. But if you put the Lord first, if you really give him your first and your best in setting your schedule and making your commitments and your time and your talents, people will sit up and take notice. They'll say, why do you do that? You're taking personal vacation time to help with art camp? Why do you do that? There will be people that work with you who probably make as much money as you or even less. And they might drive a nicer car than you, have a bigger home than you. And they might ask you, why? No offense, but you know, I know how much money you make. Why don't you do these things we do? You should live a life of such sacrifice that it causes people to sit up and take notice, that your kids and other people will say, why do you do this? And it gives you a chance to say, because this is what the Lord has done for me. That's what he says. He says, when the time to come, your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb. You should live a life of such sacrifice, of such gratitude and devotion for what God has done, that people take notice and say, why do you do that? And then there's your opportunity to witness. There's your opportunity to talk about the Lord. Because your life is different. Because your life reflects what Christ has done for you. Remember what the Lord has done for you. And give him your best. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bless you and we thank you that you withheld no good thing from us, but you gave us of your best. You gave your only begotten Son, the firstborn of all creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for us. What grace, what commitment, what love. Impress that upon our hearts, O Lord, that we might respond with faith and gratitude and give our lives back to you. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.